Welcome to The Breakaway, a Sacramento Republic podcast.
Bandit in the box! Unbelievable strike!
My goodness, what a defensive play!
Half the crowd can't even believe it!
Rob McAllister, thanks for coming back on a match week edition of The Breakaway. You called the game Saturday. You watched it. Give me your initial reactions. What did you see from the Republic? Obviously, the 1-0 defeat, but some positives, some negatives take away. That's why we're here. Let's talk about them. What were your initial thoughts from Saturday's loss?
Yeah, look, first half, really well. Came out aggressive. I think they had at least 10 shots, maybe 12 shots at the break. And, you know, a couple didn't go in, but they had opportunities. The press looked good early on. There was a couple cracks early on that I think played themselves out later, where the unit, even though there was times they pressed well, it wasn't consistently good the whole time. And so I think that started to fall apart later in the game. But overall, really strong first half, just didn't get one in.
And I think that's kind of been a little bit of a theme of the past couple of matches. I know the 1-0 win against Reno was a positive. It was a win, but it was a PK scored goal. And this is a team that is supposed to be very attack oriented, which they are, but it's been the finishing that has kind of been the problem. They've had the chances. They had 14 chances, scoring opportunities on Saturday, unable to get a goal. So I'm assuming that there's going to be some changes made and try and figure those things out. But how much do you think that also has to do with the fact that this is still only the third game back from a 4-month hiatus?
Yeah, and I think that's what Mark's trying to figure out, right? Like the tactically portion of all this, they seem to have figured out what's working, and four in the back seems to work better for them. Going to a 4-3-3 seems to be the preferred. The shots are there, you know, 80 shots, but you're only scoring 5 goals.
Right.
And Mark has simply said, you know, the opportunities are there. We've got to finish them. And I think a lot of times players always look for these fantastic goals. And sometimes you can play a little dirty. They can be ugly, ugly goals. It doesn't matter, right? And those goals can be just as deflating to your opponent. And so there's that portion of it. And on the other part, it's just this passion and desire that for whatever reason, this team is extremely talented, has some veteran players, has some young guys, but they tend to relax a little bit. And so what Mark has basically said to them is, you've got to play with more passion. You have to not just settle upon being a Sacramento Republic player. You have to be a player that's winning for Sacramento Republic. And I thought that was a really interesting tidbit. And there's been times where he's called practice after 20, 30 minutes because he felt like the passion, the intensity wasn't there. So if that's the one concern he has, I think it's valid. And moving forward, something that should be fixed. And that's where guys like Aroro, a Deckel, Carlton Belmar, Kamuwasa have to help infuse that, especially when there's no fans. There's not 11,000 fans at home, right, Connor?
Right. Oh, I know. I'm very aware. Yeah, a little bit quieter at matches. But I think one of the things that's a factor, too, is that Tomas Hiliadarse talked about this a little bit last week when I interviewed him, was that it's a almost next man up style of mentality for these guys. And he mentioned it last week that if players aren't playing well, Mark's made it clear they're going to be replaced. They're not going to have their starting spot following games. So I'll be interested to see what's the adjustments Mark Briggs makes going into Wednesday. And then, of course, into Saturday with the short week. I mean, 3 games in 8 days is tough. Luckily, you have the 5 substitution rule. But do you think we'll see any lineup changes or anything different going into Wednesday?
I think you have to, just because of the way that you have so many games, little training time or even recovery time. So you're going to see some opportunities for some of these younger players who maybe aren't getting the time quite yet or haven't been in the starting lineup yet. And when you go back to results, I think what Mark is saying is that he values effort in doing something, right? But the facts are, if you are a striker, it's okay to get shots, but you need to score goals. If you're a midfielder, you need to help control the game, create opportunities. If you're a goalkeeper, you better stop shots. And if you're a defender, you better know how to mark your man and make it very difficult for the opponent. And if you're not doing those things, if there's mental lapses on set pieces or during a counterattack, you might come out. And I think that's where the difference is. It's not just if you're struggling or not doing, but if you're trying and doing all the things correctly, I think there's some room to maybe stay in the lineup. So part of that, you're right. The short week, three matches, I think you're going to definitely see some changes. And will they be drastic? We don't know. But the biggest part is that you do have those five substitutions to make some big adjustments if needed. To me, LA made adjustments. And in the midfield, they had some teenagers that came in and completely switched momentum. And it was a completely different team. That's what you hope you want your team to do and not go the other way. So guys are getting fit, working themselves back in. But, yeah, I would expect some changes, especially Wednesday. We'll see whether or not Saturday is a result of Wednesday or accumulation of who he thought played better Saturday and Wednesday before.
Well, Orange County, we can talk about them in a little bit, but they just beat Phoenix last Saturday as well, 1-0. And this is a team, and we talked about it before we came on, in Group B. Group B is loaded with talent. There is four teams that could easily make the playoffs. And another team we play Wednesday, another team on the Saturday against San Diego. So these next two games are going to be a good test for Sacramento to see where they stand, maybe not necessarily in their group, but more of, we'll see if playoffs does come around and things turn up for the Republic and they are in the top two seeds, which we both think that they will be, that teams they will play in the playoffs. So I think that's one thing that's going to be kind of interesting about these next two games. And you touched on it a little bit. I think the press, the high press has been really good at times. And then at times it seems that especially late in the match where the Republic needed to get that equalizing goal, they just seemed gassed and deflated and they didn't seem like they had it in them to get, I just never felt like we were actually had a chance to tie the game, unfortunately. And I don't know why that is, but I think that's something that, as you mentioned, Mark Briggs has also seen and is going to try and make adjustments for.
Yeah, 1-0. You're still in it. I mean,
right.
Seattle, LAFC, and Sounders were in trouble. They're down 2-0 in the MLS's back quarterfinals. And they looked deflated. They made two substitutions, and all of a sudden, the energy changed. They get that goal. And then they had two opportunities right after that to tie the match. Unfortunately, you know, LA scores the other goal, and they defeat them. But at least there was a fight. There was a new energy that came in and changed things up for them. And so I think for Sacramento, it's digging in and finding who those guys are off the bench. Saturday, you had 90 goals coming off the bench with Cam Iwasa and Carlton Belmar. There's no other team in the league that has that, albeit probably talent-wise, Orange County may be the only other one. So it's not just about your pass and how you're able to score goals, but how can you change the energy? How can you uplift the team if you're already holding the majority of the momentum and the possession? So Orange County, absolutely dangerous. They tie with Phoenix. They beat the Phoenix Rising, who have arguably been the best team in USL regular season play for the last couple of years. Orange County is really good. They're loaded. They're well coached. And I think their backline has not been as good years past, but they've got a lot of young players from the Scottish Premier League, Rangers FC, who have come out on loan. And they're solid. This is not going to be an easy game. Much different contest. More like a Reno, but look what happened in Reno. Republic get the win. They were the better team for really 90-plus minutes. So maybe youth is the problem of this team. I mean, look at Tacoma. You look at LA. They've had the problem with the teenager, not the veteran guy. So maybe it's a problem of getting up for games. I don't know, and they'll know that in the locker room.
Well, I mean, that's something that you would have to imagine. We'll probably know right out the gate against Orange County. Like you said, a very, very talented team. One of the players that I've been really impressed with, Rob, and probably a player that, I mean, we should have known coming into the season he probably was going to be a huge factor, but I really didn't know what to expect from Rodrigo Lopez coming into this season. And I have been thoroughly impressed with some of the plays he's made in the midfield. He leads the team in creating scoring chances with 10. He's even made some outstanding defensive plays as well, because when he played in Mexico, he was more of a defensive mid, but we've seen him also, like I said, create a lot of chances. What has your impression been of him?
Well, Mark's asking him to do something he's never done in his career. So Kevin and I talked about it in the game with Tacoma, is that, not to use Andrea Pirlo as this mark that he has to somehow meet, great Italian midfielder, but this is the type, is that he's not going to be a guy who's going to get stuck in tackles and tracking back. He's going to be a guy that can manage and move this offense forward, especially after turnovers. And he is so crafty, so creative in the midfield that we've now got to see more balls on the end of his feet lead to goals. And you have a dynamic situation in terms of the way you score and the way that you can get in the box. Jaime Villarreal has been more involved. Mm-hmm. Dries Gundersen is still trying to find his way around them. But Roro is the type of player that makes other people better. And these are once in really a decade type player for organizations. And so, you know, he's a little bit older, he's wiser. So he's got to understand that he's got to use his mind more than he used to when he was running up and down the pitch for 90 plus minutes, like he did when he was here this first run.
And I think another thing that has been a huge factor is, we talked about it last time you're on the podcast, is his free kick ability on corner kicks, putting balls in the box. I just think that has been something in the past few years Republic has really been missing. And maybe it's been more of the presence inside the box on the free kicks, on the corners. But it just seems like every time he sends a ball into the box, there is a chance for Republic to get ahead on it, or even a foot as well, to get a goal. So, I mean, I've heard, you know, fans panicking a little early on for Republic because of their inability to score goals the last couple of matches. But, and I think you and I both are in agreement on this, they're going to figure it out. They're too talented not to figure it out. We're still incredibly early. And this is a team that is resilient, and they're going to find a way to be able to get more on the scoring column.
Well, I think in years past, there was concern because the shot totals were in single digits or maybe 10 or 11. Mm-hmm. All three of these matches, you're seeing 20 plus shots. So to me, that's not the issue. And the idea that sometimes these will start to go in, that the cross on the end or whatever it may be. And what I do like about Roro taking set pieces is that sometimes coaches, when they feel they don't have the guy, they have basically one guy taking the corners on one side, another taking the other. For Roro, he's always taking it, which I think helps players like Hayden Sargis or Tomas, Hilliard Arce. When the ball is up in the air, they know what to expect. They understand how that spin's likely going to be placed from a certain player. I liken it to basketball getting rebounds. There's certain players, ball comes off certain ways, and they try to attack a rebound based on who's shooting. So I think it's a very similar tactic in the way that they can see balls coming in from Roro consistently. Hopefully will lead to more set piece goals. Obviously, and any corner kicks will be even greater, but I don't have the time to panic. The shots are there. The opportunities, I mean, look at LA. You didn't get one in, but it took an amazing save by Abraham Romero to take away from Hayden Sarge's first goal. Derek Vermilla kisses the post. And so you had some chances that just didn't go in.
Yeah. What about the back line, the defense? And we know Ashkenazi and Polon still learning that left back position. They went to three in the back for a match, now back to four in the back, and he's still learning the position. Tomas and Hayden Sargis are learning each other and just communicating. What have you seen from the back line recently? I know the goal that was given up, kind of a strange goal, probably should have been cleared, but what have you seen that you've liked, disliked about the back line?
I think the back line's been very good, and Asher Pauling has played, I think, his best game in Republic uniform for sure on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Really was the best Republic player of the entire night. Compared to what it was at Reno, I think he was struggling and trying to figure out, but he's a winger. He's a guy who scored, yeah, you know, 15 plus goals before coming. So this is not a guy who is used to tracking back and marking and understanding. It's a more of a mental change for him, but he's getting more into the attack. I think the other three are doing fine. I mean, look at the way the goals are being scored, even in Tacoma. Those goals were scored on lapses by the entire team and not necessarily back line doing something or not. Tomas Hilliard Arce probably should have let it go on, you know, Saturday against LA. Mm-hmm. He probably expects better from himself. And I think that was one of the mistakes we've probably seen from that back line that was devastating. Also, you could look at maybe Adam Greenwich probably should have been more aggressive in coming out. So there's just those type of things where that back line and Adam Grinwis have to be more in sync with each other. And I don't know if they're completely in sync with each other right now. But, you know, this has been a change and adjustment for everybody. So you expect them to be better here Wednesday night.
Well, and that's what I'm excited for Wednesday night. Coming off the tough loss, against LA Galaxy 2, against a tough Orange County team. This is the chance for Sacramento to really rise to the challenge. We talked about it. They looked gassed, a little bit deflated late in the match against LA. So this is an opportunity for really the next two matches, Orange County and then San Diego, both teams that are pretty talented, for Republic to see what they can do against some of the top teams in Group B and teams that they were more than likely to be playing in the playoffs as well.
Well, I mean, look at Group B. We talked earlier, it is a juggernaut. You have LA, you have Orange County, you have Phoenix, you have Las Vegas, and you have San Diego now. And really everybody other than Las Vegas is really performing well. And I think Phoenix expected, Orange County expected, but LA and San Diego are not going away. The only positive from Saturday's loss is that you didn't lose a game in group play.
Right.
So even if they lose Wednesday and Republic lose again on Saturday, if you continue to pick up points, 3 points consistently, you're going to have no problem. I don't think any of the players want that. This is a good measurement. And maybe Saturday was a kind of a wake-up call. The thing we don't really figure in, 7.5 hours on a bus is never going to be good.
Point.
You know, and they're not used to that. And think about any time you travel, just, you know, an airplane for 5 hours, but you don't feel great for the whole next day. And typically a trip to LA should never feel like that, but it just does on a bus. Even if you have your full row to yourself, it's just not quite the same. You're cramped up and it's not comfortable. So I'm not going to, completely blame a bus trip on this, but I think you do have to look at that a little bit, which going back to making sure that you are passionate and show some intensity, because when you get tired legs, that's about the only thing you can control.
Let's talk a little bit about Orange County. Like we said, they've tied with Phoenix, and then they beat Phoenix in back-to-back matches. Watch a little bit of their film. They look like a team that could cause problems for Sacramento if Sacramento plays similar as they did in the last 15 minutes or so against LA Galaxies too. So what have you seen from Orange County? What types of things do you think Sacramento needs to do to either get a point or 3 points on tomorrow?
Well, they're very good up top. You know, Thomas and Evoltson signed with them, but he will not be likely playing as I think he just had a child that was born. So he's back in Europe. Aiden Quinn, everything goes through him. Very talented midfielder from Southern California. And then you've got guys they picked up that have also been really good. Seth Kasiple, actually from Rocklin in Sacramento here. Midfielder, had a pretty good run with Reno the last couple of seasons. But to me, Sean Oakley, who scored the game winner for Orange County, very good. And he is the type of player that can be dangerous. They love to shoot from outside the 18. They are not afraid to take chances. And you have someone like that. You have Chandler Hoffman, who they've just brought back. Hoffman was one of those players that started for LA Galaxy 2 during the Miracle of Bonnie match. Mm-hmm. He's been a long time, one of the top, seven all-time goal scorers in USL history. So they have some firepower that's really good. And defensively, they've been good enough, and they've slowed down the Phoenix team. But, you know, they're going to rely on their midfield, and they're going to rely on their veterans. And they're coached very well. You know, Braden Cloutier is a guy who will make adjustments constantly. So they're not a team that will just stick and do one thing like a Phoenix and says, try to stop us. He'll make adjustments and move things around. So look for that. And again, they've got some Rangers FC guys from, you know, some of the youth sides of the Scottish Premier League that are showing well. And their back line is made up of some of those guys. And so they're a well-balanced team. If you're looking at favorites that aren't getting all the attention, this might be a club that is. So big, big test Wednesday.
Oh, no doubt about it. I actually saw, I don't remember where I saw it on Twitter, but I did see that there are odds out on the USL Championship. And I think that after the loss to LA Galaxy, Sacramento is actually out of the odds. They don't make odds for the teams in the lower half, just for the top, I think, 10 teams. But interesting here. So maybe a little bit of a chip on the shoulder for Sacramento, feeling like that the last few matches, especially against LA Galaxy 2, that they didn't play up to their standards. And I know Mark Briggs thinks that. I know a lot of the players think that. So they could come out ready to roll against a very tough Orange County team. I'm excited to see it. It's good to be back in Sacramento for another home match before they head back to San Diego. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And it's just, you know, it's one of those things. They've been playing well for 75, 80 minutes for the most part. Give up a goal, kind of looked gassed or deflated late, And we'll see if they can make some of those changes or even maybe some late substitutions can bring some energy off the bench.
Can Cam get 50? That's the big question of the day, I think.
I think it is too. What I haven't even asked you about this. Have you heard my dumb nicknames for Cam's goals?
I've heard there's a couple going around. They're not great. They're not great, Connor son.
I was going to ask you if number 50, you would do one for me, but if you don't think they're great, I don't want you to do it.
What can we do? Camtastic. There's one.
I didn't even think of that one. Mine. Well, the first one, Cam Burger, was just ridiculous. It was more for a partnerships thing. Cammy Whammy. You know, it's okay.
If it reminds
it's
like me from, of the no whammy stop that, show. Exactly. Yeah, pyramid. Yeah.
Yep.
It's hard. I mean, Cam and Owosso, it's not really a punnable name, I don't think. So.
No, but I'm trying to force it. So.
Keep going. No, you got to let a moment like that. I mean, that's pretty spectacular. There's only 7 other players in USL history who have more than 50 goals. And so, you know, credit to him. You know, he's had some really good seasons in Sacramento. And it's just so great. You know, he played high school baseball and soccer 5 miles from Papa Murphy's Park. Yep. So it'd be great to see if he can do it on Wednesday night. And I know Adam Moffat is going to be in for Kevin Goldthwait this week. He's already calling it. He said number 50 is happening Wednesday night.
Ooh, man. Adam Moffat getting bold. Love it. We'll have him on the podcast Thursday to talk about Wednesday's match. Hopefully 3 points will be in the table for Republic. Well, Rob, thanks so much for joining us. Have a great call as you always do on Wednesday, and hopefully we'll see a good Republic performance.
Thank you, Connor.
Thanks, brother. Lots of good stuff from Rob McAllister there. He is one of the best in the business. That's why we love having him on. Coming on Wednesday night, your Sacramento Republic taking on Orange County SC, OCSC, 8 p.m. kickoff. If you want to join the watch party, you can do so. Go to sacrepublicfc.com for more information. Of course, Facebook Live will be there about half hour early. And going to be checking out some warm-ups and other things as well. Should be a lot of fun. Just excited to have the team back in Sacramento after the short road trip down to L.A., and we will see you guys on Thursday. Would also be another Match Week edition podcast because 3 matches in 8 days. So much soccer to talk about. So much Republic to get to. Adam Moffat, who will be on the broadcast Wednesday and Saturday, will be joining us for Thursday's pod. We thank you for joining us for the Match Week edition of The Breakaway. We will see you on Thursday. And let's hope Republic get 3 points on Wednesday. Come on, boys.